Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 8th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Aputure, Lightroom, Photoshop, Santa Fe Workshops, and more. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Boy, has it been crazy. My word, if you're listening to this show right now, you have stuck with me through some serious stuff, and I thank you a lot. So, okay, where do I begin? Well, I took off. Even before I went to Santa Fe, I changed studios. It was time to get out of one studio, and I had a chance to actually buy a place, which is, you know, whenever you get a chance to stop paying rent and start paying the bank, well, normally speaking, that's a good thing. And I had to do this all before I left for Santa Fe. So there I was moving out of my old studio the night before I was to catch a plane to Albuquerque. And I actually finished the last load out of the old place into the new place about 1 in the morning. And then I had to leave for San Francisco Airport at 6 in the morning to catch my flight to go to Albuquerque to teach in Santa Fe. So it was very crazy that week leading up to it. And I actually missed a podcast through all of that sort of stuff because I didn't have my stuff set up. I was going 18 hours a day, and it was just general insanity, quite frankly. And, you know, I've done many podcasts when I'm, you know, partially insane, but I think this was a full-on attack of insanity, and so I didn't get one out. Okay. At the same time, while this was happening, I also had some problems with our podcast feed. So I was thinking, okay, what I'll do is we'll work on the problems with our team, get that sorted out. It's not the most terrible week to miss a podcast because who knows what would happen to it anyway. We regroup and then we get going again. So in the podcast feed problem, came out of the situation where I just wasn't getting good stats for, you know, the podcast. I didn't really know how many downloads there were, and you know, I didn't have any information at all. So we decided to try FeedBurner and use that so that we could track our statistics. Well, for the most part, the switch over to FeedBurner went well. No fault of theirs or anyone else's. It was all our doing, but we managed to break a few things in the process. Right after we broke things, then the guy that I work with, Mark Levitt, had to take off. He had to leave out of town, and he wasn't responding to my email because he didn't have internet connection. So now I have a broken feed, and I don't have any way to get a hold of the guy who set it up in the first place, or, you know, who was able, you know, to fix it. So I'm sending notes and hoping for the best. Meanwhile, I'm working in Santa Fe, and I'm going to talk about some photography actually on this show, a lot of it coming out of Santa Fe. And so I said, well, you know what, I can't go 2 weeks in a row without publishing a podcast. I'm just going to hope for the best that Mark gets back, sees my notes, gets things fixed, and in the meantime, I'm going to have a podcast ready to go. So I did that, but I couldn't find a great place to record while I was on the road. The room that I was in was noisy, had one of those refrigerators that, you know, woo, and I couldn't actually get to the plug. So I decided, okay, I'm going to record this podcast outdoors at night in the rental car that I had, which was a Ford Edge. And that's probably the quietest place that I can find to do this. And I had some good stuff to say. I had been out and about for a little bit and had gone to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum and had seen some great things by Ansel Adams and George O'Keefe, and the whole notion of self-assignment really made an impression on me, and I wanted to talk about that. So here I was with my little portable kit in a Ford Edge, and unfortunately, I had had a margarita or two also, and I'm doing this show, and I pull it off, and we get it done. So then I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to upload it, and I decide to publish it. And then I find out that still the feeds weren't working. And then we had this whole other thing where suddenly no one could get to this podcast. I had gone to all this trouble to record. And so then there was a real rigmarole for a few days. Finally, I think we have all that stuff worked out. This podcast should be showing up in iTunes under your regular subscription. And you should be getting the RSS feed for the regular posts that I do on the weblog and all that sort of stuff. And if you are still having problems with any of that, make sure you send me a note so we can take a look at it and find out what your situation is and get you straightened out. So in the meantime, while all this was happening, of course, you know, the numbers were plummeting because people couldn't download stuff. And I'm just going crazy about all of that. And then I still have to finish, you know, kind of getting the new place set up and setting up a new studio to record in, which I'm in right now. And I haven't quite finished it yet. So I hope it sounds good, and I'm going to make it sound better. I have a few things left to do to kind of get the soundproofing the way that I want. But at least I think I got it good enough for this week, and definitely better than sitting in a Ford Edge in the middle of the desert trying to record a podcast. So I think we've turned the corner here. And like I said, I apologize up front for any inconvenience I may have caused you. And sometimes, you know, big changes, you know, require some of this, you know, disruption. And so I'm not going to have any big changes for a little while yet until I recover from this one. So let me talk about what I actually want to talk about photography-wise, and that's this interesting conversation that I kept having over and over again. It was like a thread that ran through the whole week at the Santa Fe workshop. I was there to teach Photoshop workflow and Lightroom, which is really cool. And I love teaching both of those, and I was showing them things that you can do in Bridge and ACR and you know, Lightroom and all that sort of stuff. And it was really a very good class. And I had pretty smart photographers in this class too. I mean, these were people that were passionate about photography. Some of them were making their living with photography. So this is a pretty smart bunch of people. And so they kept asking me about, okay, well, how does this compare to Aperture? So even though the class was Lightroom and Photoshop, sort of the missing, you know, the third element there that was missing was Aperture. And everyone knew it, right? I mean, it was like, you know, the big elephant, the 800-pound gorilla in the center of the room. You know, we're talking about Lightroom. We're talking about Photoshop. They want to know about Aperture, too, because they're at the point where they want to make a decision about, you know, their photo workflow. You know, is it going to be Lightroom? Is it going to be Aperture? Is it going to be something that I, you know, roll myself using Bridge and ACR? You know, what's it going to be? So they were hungry for all the information. And that's the way the conversation went a lot of times. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I think it's a conversation that many of you will be interested in. I know a lot of you have made your decision toward Lightroom or toward Aperture or toward neither of the two. But I know a lot of you are still thinking about that. And even if you have made a decision, it's always interesting to hear how the trend is going. We have Lightroom 2.0 coming up. It'll be released very soon. And, you know, the areas that it seems very strong in is that the develop module has continued to evolve at just this amazing pace. So much so that now you can actually do selective editing with the develop module. And I think that's just, you know, that's wild. That's crazy. Here you are in a photo management application that's database driven, that, you know, its goal is to take care of you from start to finish. And then any fine-tuning that you have to do on your images, you go to Photoshop. And then they drop in selective editing tools. And you go, whoa, this sort of doesn't fit with the model in that You know, it's always been, well, you're supposed to round trip to Photoshop. Whenever you have heavy duty image editing, you do your global edits in Lightroom, right? The big stuff that fixes 90% of your images. And then you save that last 10% that really need a little extra TLC, and you move them into Photoshop where you have, you know, layers and selective editing tools. And now you're throwing selective editing tools into Lightroom. What does that do with the equation here? And I don't know the answer to that. I think it's very interesting. There's a lot of other stuff that I think also needs to happen in Lightroom. I think the slideshow module needs more work. I think the web module needs more work. The print module is pretty good, but you know, you could always use a little bit more love there also. The library, you know, you can always do more work in the library because, you know, this is your database. This is where you're doing your keywording, where you're doing your rating, where you're looking at your photos, where you're organizing them. So any work that you can do to improve that is always very welcome. But, you know, the real gee whiz stuff is happening in develop module. So you have that going on. And by the way, people in the class really, I had to teach Lightroom 1.4 because that's the version that's, you know, shipping right now. And they really responded well to it. They liked the application. They loved things such as, you know, batch renaming. They loved, you know, how easy it was to rate your photos. They loved that if you just did a little keywording on import, you know, you could find photos so much easier. Because it was database driven, and just with those little bits of information, you could go from 50,000 photos to 50 photos really fast. They loved all of that stuff. I also think they really enjoyed just how much you could do in the develop module. And I think we're very impressed with the photographic nature of the controls. You know, I mean, there were words that they recognized, like exposure and contrast. You know, they loved that stuff. So Lightroom 1.4 went over really well. And I think Bridge went over very well too, because we were using Bridge for things such as, okay, you just want to take a quick look at what's on your memory card, maybe grab a photo, maybe adjust it, and then ship it off to a client without having to do an entire upload. Well, you know, Bridge is wonderful for that because you can just use a memory card reader. Your photos come up on the desktop there. I mean, it's like a drive. You can point Bridge at it. Bridge can let you browse everything that's on your memory card. If you see something that you like, you can grab it. You can open it up in ACR. And you can do your thing to it really quickly and move it along. And then later on, you can upload the entire card into Lightroom or into Aperture, whatever you're using, and do your more formal thing where you're doing your keywording and all that kind of stuff. Bridge had its place in this workflow. So, you know, I'm just rolling along with this. I thought I had a really good kind of lesson plan here for the week and a great combination of apps to show people. And then they wanted to know about Aperture. So, well, how does Aperture handle this? Does Aperture have equivalent functionality? Can Aperture do this? If we hit a wall with Lightroom, can Aperture solve it? And it was a very interesting conversation. So the things that people really were interested in about Aperture that Lightroom didn't do very well was in the output side of things, especially for the web. Because the thing that you can do in the latest version of Aperture, for example, is once you've gone through your photo editing process, once you have your selects and you've done, you know, some adjustment to them, then it's very easy just to publish a gallery online right out of Aperture. You know, you use the, you know, the web gallery function, which, you know, hooks into, you know, Apple's online service. And, you know, you just basically select the images. You have to answer a few parameter questions. Do you want clients to be able to download these? Do you want clients to be able to download the master version of it? Do you want this password protected? You know, just a few things like that that are really helpful when you're doing this as part of your business. So essentially, in the Aperture workflow, you could have a whole bunch of stuff. You work through it, select them, make a web gallery, send the URL for the gallery and the password to the client, and you can go to sleep or you can go have dinner. You're done. And that it isn't that easy in Lightroom. The web gallery functionality just isn't there. They're going, well, okay, I can export my web pages, or I can use FTP to upload them to my server, but what if I don't have a server? This is in Lightroom now. And, you know, what if I don't have all that set up? Or if I just export it out as HTML, then what do I do with it? I got to put it somewhere. And they were hitting that wall. And so this was one area, I think, that people were very interested in when they were comparing Lightroom and Aperture, which is really finishing off that process. You know, I've gone this far. My clients want to see the photos online. They want to be able to pick which one they want. And in some cases, they want to be able to just grab the high-res version right then once they make their decision. And I want to be able to provide that to them. And the story was a lot better in Aperture than it was in Lightroom right there. Now, another area that they wanted to talk about was, you know, the develop module versus the heads-up display in Aperture. And how well did Aperture compare to Lightroom in terms of adjusting your images? Now, this is where I think, you know, the story is still a little bit better for Lightroom, because Lightroom's develop module, even at 1.4, is just, you know, is a really good piece of work. And this is without the selective editing tools that we're going to see in 2.0. So I think, you know, a lot of times I'll say, well, yes, Aperture has this. You know, they call the clarity slider that you see in Lightroom, they call definition. And they have vibrance versus vibrancy and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But there's a lot of comparison here. But, you know, overall, I think most people enjoy using the develop module a little bit more than they do the heads-up display in Aperture. However, that being said, the thing where it changes a little bit is that if you want to use the develop module in Lightroom, you have to be in the develop module. So if you're working on a slideshow and you want, you're looking at a bunch of images or playing in sequence, as they do when you're preparing your slideshow, and one just sort of jumps out at you is not quite being right, then you have to go all the way back to the develop module, do a little work on it, and then go back to slideshow module in Lightroom. In Aperture, all you do is hit the heads-up display. It comes up. You make the adjustment right there while you're still kind of in slideshow preparation mode. Get it the way that you want. Close the heads-up display and go back to work. So that lack of being confined to the rooms, I think, was appealing to folks, and they were very interested in that. And then there's the whole price thing. And wow. So right now, you know, if you pay off the shelf price, Lightroom's $299 and Aperture's $199, and we're going to wait and see what happens with Lightroom 2.0. I suspect they're going to bring down the price. I mean, I'd be surprised if they didn't. But there's a $100 difference right now, and that $100, was noted by folks. So the price difference also, especially, you know, you already have to make an investment in Photoshop. So then if you are going to buy one of these photo management tools, you know, you want to get, you know, the thing that really works well for you, but you don't want to spend any more than you absolutely have to. And so that $100 difference, you know, was discussed. And so I hope that Adobe brings the price of Lightroom down so that's more in line with what we're seeing on the Aperture side. So this went on and on, and the thing that I've discovered is that regardless if I'm somewhere to teach Lightroom or if I'm somewhere else to teach Aperture, I just have to be prepared to talk about the other one, because at this point right now, people just, they want to know about both. And this was a Photoshop and Lightroom workshop for a whole week in Santa Fe, which was just fabulous. I loved having a whole week to talk about Lightroom instead of trying to cram it into one day or 2 hours or something. It gave us a chance to go out and shoot and then come back and work with our actual images, and allowed me to show them so many more, you know, small things and nuance and so forth that you just don't get in a shorter workshop. And at the same time, though, even though we had all this time dedicated to learning this application, photographers right now, they want to know the whole landscape, and they really want to understand everything. And that includes conversations about, you know, the competing apps. So I just think it's a very interesting time right now. And, you know, my approach is, you know, I use all of them. And, you know, I'm writing a book right now on Photoshop and Bridge for the next release. I just had my Aperture 2.1 training video come out on lynda.com. It's available now, and I'll make sure I put a link to it in the show notes. It was just released, I think, last Friday. And then, you know, I spend a lot of time teaching Lightroom at conferences and places like Santa Fe Workshop. And the thing is that the folks just really want to understand all of this. And my approach is just to keep an open mind. This is good for us, this competition between Adobe and Apple especially, because they are really pushing each other. And in the end, we benefit. So when people are asking you for advice, you know, try to list out, regardless of which way you're leaning or what you're actually using at any given moment, I hope you try to just sort of weigh out the pros and cons for both. Try to be fairly objective, because I think every photographer needs to make a decision based on his or her needs and not on, you know, you or me or someone else saying, hey, this is the only way to go, and the other one is, you know, not even worth wasting your time on. We know that's not true. We know that these are all good applications, and that it's really a matter of fit and finding the right one for you. So, a very interesting week in Santa Fe, a very interesting week overall. I feel like we're getting back on track now. I want to thank you again for hanging in there. This month's photo assignment is fire, and that just worked on so many levels for me. There was 4th of July fireworks. There are these raging wildfires in Northern California right now that are just heartbreaking. There was this fire in terms of, you know, radical change, which was going on with me at the time. So, and it's hot, right? It's hot up here in Northern California right now. So fire worked on that level too. So that is the photo assignment for July. Fire. I have an amazing gallery for you guys from June on Motion. Oh, just, you know, I brag about every gallery because I think you all do such a good job. But you just went crazy on Motion. Some of these images are just fantastic. And so I'm working on that. I'm going to try to get that published sooner than later. And I just wanted to, you know, to wet your palate a little bit, because I think you're really going to enjoy the next photo assignment that I put up. But the one you should be working on right now is Fire. And I just want to mention Grab Shots, as always. I could use a few more. If you're sitting in one, please send them in. I have some fun stuff. I got a review that I'm going to publish real soon. It might even be up by the time you get up. I've been testing some of the Red River paper. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the, you know, the Arctic Polar white paper, 75-pound. Oh, just really, really nice stock. And I'm running it through my HP 9180, B9180, and it's just turning out great. So that's coming up. I'm going to try to get the Burt Monroy video up as soon as possible. I'm heading up to Microsoft. Actually, as you're listening to this, I'm probably be on my way there for the Pro Photography Summit. And I should have some interesting things to report from there. So maybe I'll be talking a little bit about things I learned up in Redmond. And that'll be fun. And then at the beginning of August, I head out to the Olympics, and I'm going to be there for 2 weeks working with Apple and Kodak. There's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out of that, so obviously I'll keep you posted there. I want to thank our sponsors, Red River Paper Company, and also LowPro, and Photomagico, and ExpoDesk, all of them great supporters of the Digital Story. As you are, as demonstrated by listening to this right now, thanks again for your support. I'll be getting more and more on track as each week goes by. And in the meantime, keep listening, keep shooting, and I'll see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.